Welcome to the Lost and Found Wellness Podcast. I've always felt that being lost was a problem. Everyone knows their why and their purpose. Everyone else has their shit figured out. But I'm not qualified enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not fit enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not worthy. These things made me feel behind and lost. But feeling lost is not the problem. It's a sign towards a new situation, a chance to get creative, to build resilience and a chance to connect with yourself and the world around you. You are adaptable. You are brave. You are safe. And you are loved. So if you're feeling lost in where you are in your life, you've found the right podcast. All right, welcome back, ladies, for another episode.
Hello, hello,
hi.
This one is, so we just discovered that Jen and I, at least, have a common bond. So looking at things like make us unique and different, right? If you really knew me, you would know that I am obsessed with some British royalty. And I found out that so is Jen. This is something that we never really knew about each other. Paula doesn't have any interest in it, doesn't follow it. So this is going to be fun for her. But my British royalty obsession is more like in the Middle Ages and like medieval times, like the Tudor dynasty or dynasty, if you want to be proper about it. But Jen is like obsessed with like current.
Yeah, the royal family. Yes. It's ridiculous. And it has started since I was like a little girl at the royal wedding, the Charles and Diana's wedding. And at the time you had to get up in the middle of the night and watch the wedding in the middle of the night because of the time change, because you couldn't like watch the recording of it or whatever. You had to get up and watch it. And my sister and my mom and I got up in the middle of the night and watched the royal wedding. Yes, we did. Between Charles and Diana. And it was like, she was the princess. She was like the people's princess. Mm-hmm. And it was such a big deal. And then watching her through her life. And then I would believe it was my freshman year of college was when she was killed. Mm-hmm. And I just remember like laying on my bed. I can tell you exactly where I was, which direction my dorm room was facing and what hall I was in. And just laying on my bed, just being captivated, watching the accident and all of that stuff happening. And it's just, yes, it's.
I do remember that.
I remember my mom's reaction to it. And I remember like exactly where I was in the basement and like her watching the TV. And I remember like staying there. I remember, everything about that. My mom just being like absolutely devastated. And that's like where I started to like learn a little bit more about Princess Diana. But I went to the site and her memorial when I was in Paris a couple years ago.
Oh, wow.
It is chilling. It is chilling. Yeah, it's pretty incredible. But that was, Princess Diana, the more I've learned about her since I've gotten older, it's like, that is so amazing heartbreaking.
Woman. Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely amazing. But where I wanted to take this episode today, a little less focus on the current royals and more on like the health remedies that they had in the Middle Ages times, because they're so bizarre. And so this one's titled Kill or Cure and the things that they used to do. So I'm particularly obsessed with the Tudor dynasty, as I said. So Henry VIII, who's you may know, is the one who had like six wives, beheaded most of them. He was an absolute maniac. The Tudors are a total shit show and a total mess, and there's so much drama. But fun fact, what we were just kind of bonding over as well, is that Prince Harry of Charles and Diana, his real name is actually Henry. And that's very common because Henry VIII as well, when he was younger, his nicknames were actually Hal and Harry as well. So it's like a very... common theme there for that to be like the nickname of
you
Henry.
Wouldn't think that Harry would be short for Henry.
But
right,
same syllables. I don't know. I don't know, weird.
British, I can't figure them out.
Right.
I wish they'd speak English or something.
So funny. I learned a lot of wonderful like British idioms and sayings. I actually did an episode, I should dig this up, on YouTube with one of my friends in Kuwait, and she is British. And we did this whole dynamic. We were very obsessed with movement, right? And how your environment shapes your movement and it literally shapes you, right? So the conveniences that you have set up, like how far do you have to go to get things? Like where do you have to get up to like reach for things? You know, your environment totally shapes you. And so we talked about that from like a linguistics perspective and how like based on where you live and how tall or short you are in the world, like that changes your metaphors and your language. So that also shapes your environment, shapes your language. So we did a whole episode on common phrases and sayings like in English, like British English compared to like American English, and there are some really, really great ones in there. And I had a British roommate when I first moved to Kuwait. And one of my favorite things that she always used to say is like, instead of like, are you kidding me? It was always, are you having a laugh? One of my sayings that I've always kept, or like, you okay? Instead of like, how are you? It's always like, you okay? So I'd always panic when they're like, you okay? And I'm like, what happened? I'm okay. I'm gonna have to dig up that YouTube episode because there's so many great ones in there.
So we had I actually went to grad school. One of the ladies in my grad school cohort was British also, and we used to laugh about some of that stuff too. And the ones that made me laugh were the knock you up. So have you ever heard that expression?
Yep.
So, I get pregnant. That's what I've heard.
Right. So like in England, they, if you say like, you come down for breakfast and you're like, blah, blah, blah. And your mom's like, go knock your sister up. Well, what it means, yes, it knock means like go knock on the door to wake them up. Knock them up. And I'm like, that makes me laugh. And then.
Absolutely knackered is like one when you're like tired, like that one I'd always heard a lot.
Randy, it's like the name Randy. Of course, in England, it's like horny.
Yep.
The one that's making me crazy right now, and it just makes me cringe every single time somebody here uses it, is the term puppers. You know, like dogs, like they talk about doggos and puppers and things like that. Well, puppers in England are boobs.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that one.
Apparently, like you talk about, oh, the puppers, and they're like, stop saying that. Stop saying it.
That's hilarious. One of my other favorites was dog's dinner.
Ooh, I don't know that one.
So it's like, so a girl who gets like super done up and like dressed up. So like our equivalent of like getting all gussied up, like, oh, she's dressed up like for dog's dinner. Like, I don't know. I don't understand that one. But yeah, dog's dinner was another one. There's, oh my God, what was the other one? There's one I have to think of that's like for a really ugly person. And I can't remember.
Dog?
No.
I don't think that'd be a dog's dinner. But
well, and the one that throws me too is jumper. So
yes,
they're a jumper. What, like we think of a jumper, when I think of a jumper, I think of like a little like onesie kind of outfit that's on like a kid, like a jumper, right?
Yeah.
A jumper over there is like a sweater. Like if you wear a sweater, it's a jumper. They call it a jumper. And I'm like, that doesn't even make any sense.
Swimming costume, jumper, a sports bra is a vest, or like a tank top is a vest. Yeah. Minger. That's the word. Like, oh, she's a real minger. That is the word for like a really ugly person.
You don't want to be a minger. That's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh,
I loved it. Good times. And it was always fun celebrating the 4th of July with like a good crew. We were like half and half of like British and the rest of Americans.
Entertaining.
Always made for some good humor and banter. Mm-hmm. They would call it. So yes, today I want to drive us to health remedies of the Middle Ages and the medieval times, because it's absolutely amazing that we made it past that stage. Thank God. Humans evolved past that. Sanitation was absolutely awful. But I've always been curious about things of like, yeah, did they brush their teeth? Did they, you know, like how did they keep themselves clean? How often did they bathe? Henry VIII in particular, like it's thought he had a lot of leg ulcers that he suffered from. And so there's some theories out there that he was like diabetic and that he just like, they ate like a ton of meat. And so there was a little bit of like excess protein issues, you know, that happened within that. But yeah, I didn't realize that he was like 400 pounds. Like when he died, he was like absolutely massive. Yeah. And a lot of health issues. And so I was like, just curious, like how did they diagnose those things and how did they deal with those things in those days? So they were big into astrology at that time, which I still find interesting today. And it's just, you know, curious how that can relate to health and energy wise. But what I found really interesting is that they followed somewhat of like a Greek methodology of like the four humors of the body. So the four humors are your blood, your yellow bile, your black bile, and your phlegm.
Ew.
So, yeah. So they believed that these were like needed to be within balance in the body. They didn't separate like physical illness from mental illness. And so it was thought that like how when these are in balance or out of balance, how that impacts your emotions. So which is really interesting going back to like some of the Louise Hay stuff that we had talked about, right? Of like the metaphysical, you know, reason that your body is experiencing pain and stuff like that, and how your emotions are linked to physical pain. And Jen, you just talked a little bit about like some work that you're going to be doing with Crystal that's like pulling out the physical trauma out of the body. And like, I'm sure there's going to be like an emotional release with that. So it's just interesting that they looked at those fluids and the balance of those as like an answer to someone being like manic or depressed or, you know, like a lot of these emotional issues that they would have. And so they believe that it fluctuated, you know, at certain times of the year too. So you hear about like seasonal affective disorder and things like that. And it's like, maybe.
Wow.
Or I don't know, hormones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like if someone was sick in the spring, like it was associated that there was like too much blood. So they would like bleed the person. We'll talk about bloodletting in a little bit. Like in the summer, if you were sick, it was that you had like too much yellow bile. So like urine. In fall, if it was too much, if you were sick, it was too much black bile. So like your poop. Wow. And then in the winter, if you got sick, it was too much phlegm. So like those were their like areas for understanding like disease. Yeah. So it's just really
Yeah.
Pretty gross. They studied urine a lot in that time. Yeah. On urine color and diagnosis. You could go back to the Middle Ages and look at some of the drawings and examples of that. I'm a huge nerd about this. Okay.
So. I have found that like a lot of medical people tend to be though, like they really dig that stuff. So.
So cool. So yeah. So like, yeah, if someone was sick and like bleeding, like bloodletting was like a common practice, right? And it's just known that like a little bit of blood loss is okay, but like a lot of blood loss, not so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was often like an answer to like balancing out the humors is like bloodletting a person. And so it's like, yeah. So when you find that like in like shows that portray like Middle Ages and that kind of stuff, it's like if someone's sick, they'll do like, should we bleed them? Like kind of a thing. And like, that's what they're referring to is like balancing out the humors and thinking that the person is like sick or upset or whatever it is to bloodlet them. But then they had things like, you know, like the plague and like the sweating sickness and the sweating sickness, like they never really knew like what caused that or anything. But it is funny that a lot of the remedies like focused on that was like good nutrition and then like inducing a sweat on your own. So like exercising. Like working out. Right? Like, oh. They had it so figured out back then. Weird. Diet and nutrition and exercise can be really helpful. Avoiding the plague. So yeah, so funny. There was some like witchcraft type methods around that time as well, or like, you know, spells. And I think like not necessarily in the astrology realm, but like magical charms and things that they believed would help people as well. So could that have worked? Maybe it offered some mental relief, but I don't know. Like
placebo effect. Yeah.
Yeah. I would lean towards like, probably not.
I mean, are you trying to tell me that burning sage doesn't help anything?
No, it does.
It smells good.
Everybody needs to light sage all over this country right now.
Figure
out the energy.
Just walk around the neighborhood with it. Like a candle.
My parents' ranch has got a bunch of it. So
yeah. Yeah, I have like sage fields out here. It's amazing.
I love it.
So funny. Family planning is another like area, right? So like a lot of like you were likely to die in childbirth. Like it was very, very common. Like the mortality rate in childbearing was absolutely astronomical. It's huge, which is also interesting with as far as like birthing goes. So like original books on midwifery in that time. So they had like a birthing stool. So you were like in that squatting position, right? So like squatty potty, we all know that's really good for opening up the pelvis and like having a, if nobody's used a squatty potty, I'm highly encourage you to use a squatty potty. It's like absolute pooforia. it makes going to the bathroom just so much like faster and pleasant. And it's just squatty potty is great for your bowels and your digestive health. When you're in that other position, like, right. So when your feet are closer to the ground, like it causes like a kink in a hose. Right. And it closes off part of that colon. So like the same thing is true with like childbirth. Like you should be in a squatting position to keep the pelvis open. And the whole method of putting women on their back to give birth actually comes from, I think it's King Louis. I'm not sure which one. He didn't like the, he was kind of weird. He was kind of a freak, but he like, they used to like not be present for the birth of like babies, you know, typically, but he got this obsession where he wanted to watch his children being birthed, and he didn't like the birthing stool that the woman would sit on, you know, like keep her in that squatting position because he couldn't see the baby like come out right away. So he had like implemented them being like on their back so he could like actually see the baby like being like crowned and birthed. And so that's like where some of that method comes from. Which is like, so wow. Why like a lot of women probably unnecessarily died during childbirth is being in a position that wasn't, you know, and not having like the triage and trauma care that we have, you know, today.
Right.
So yeah, interesting. But as far as like family planning goes, there's a lot of like herbal treatments like sage. And what else was there? I forget the other names, but there's like different herbs and concoctions that they would come up with that had like a bunch of plants that would, they would drink that would induce essentially like an abortion, which is interesting because like if you eat too much, like not eat too much, but like oregano oil. So that's good at like fighting off bacteria and things like that. And I had experienced this in traveling. I used to keep that with me because it can help fight off like parasites and things like that, but it can induce a period. So like I was taking like oregano oil like religiously on some of my vacations and my trips, like especially when I was going to like Africa and, you know, around Asia and things like that. And I was finding that I was like getting my period like completely unexpected. I'm like, what the fuck is up with this? And then found
oregano.
Oregano oil. So that's something that's,
and because I have some essential oils too that I had purchased a while back, and I'm like, what am I going to use this for? Because people, and I researched it, and it was for, you know, back help with illness, but maybe I won't take any.
So I feel like now is the time to put in the disclaimer that like I am not a doctor and I'm not suggesting things in your family planning methods. I'm just talking about like what could have happened in the Middle Ages, like what their thought like were some of the remedies and things. So could that have worked? I don't know. Like I just know that like, oregano oil induced a period in me. I don't know that it can like be a family planning method.
Thank you for the disclaimer.
Yeah, we're not doctors. This is like definitely do your own research. Talk to somebody who is far more qualified than us. This is just stuff that I find interesting of like what could have been at a time, but like research it on your own, please.
Action. So funny. I called Megan one time.
This is the end of the Lost AF Wellness podcast. We're done. Last episode we will ever record.
It's like I called Megan one time about an injury I had, and I was like, what do you think? She goes, well, I'm about 7 years away from being a doctor, but I think that's about where we're all at.
We're not qualified to be giving this advice. This is just stuff that we find interesting. So anyway.
Ooh, that's awesome.
What else is there? It's a lot of like herbs. Oh, for joints and headaches, I found this one to be interesting. It was like a concoction of radishes, garlic, wormwood, and leeks. And I think there's a couple of other things in there. I can't remember what they were. Some other kind of wart. And leeks. And anyway, what's that?
St. John's wort?
Maybe. Oh, maybe they bishop wort. I bet that's it. That's the same thing, right?
Yeah, bishop,
I would imagine. Any religious folk out there can let me know. So they would like pound it down and then like boil it in butter with nettle, which I just like discovered what nettle is. Nettle.
What's that?
It's used a lot. Like I know like Native American culture. It's a shrub that what does it do? Nettle benefits. My dad's talked about it a lot. He keeps asking me about nettle. And I was like, never used it. I don't know what it does. It's got a lot of nutrients and vitamins in it. It can help. Oh, it's an anti-inflammatory. I feel like that's what like all plants and herbs are. But
yeah.
And it's been known that it may help treat like lower your blood pressure and blood sugar control.
And it's a plant form? Plant-based?
Mm-hmm. It's like a shrub. Yeah.
Shrub?
Yeah. So anyway, they would boil that in butter with nettle and then put it in a brass pot until it turns red in color and then strain it and then smear it like on your forehead and your joints. Like if you had achy joints and like headaches and things. So I think that's I would totally try it.
Absolutely would.
Fun fact, because I have to like throw in the stupid knowledge that I have into this, but I worked at a hardware store in high school. No shit. And this guy would come in like fairly regularly and buy gallons of WD-40.
Yeah.
And I was like, you sure do use a lot of WD-40. And he goes, yeah, I put it on my joints.
What?
And he said,
he was like dead serious.
Dead serious. He would just pour it on
like
his joints.
Body joints, not like joints.
Correct. Of like knees and elbows and shoulders and stuff. Yes. Wow. So again, I cannot endorse using WD-40, but this old man like a lot would like put WD-40 on his joints.
Interesting.
I don't know. So I don't know if it works as well as nettle and butter, but
yeah,
maybe.
Wow. I'm gonna say that's probably false.
Yeah, false claim.
False claim.
I can't imagine like it's soak. I would think it would soak through your skin, and you would have like some.
I think it,
issues and things. But
yeah, I don't think that's a level of chemical stress. I don't think you would want to introduce.
I will tell you that working in a hardware store in high school, we did lots of things that you probably wouldn't recommend the average human doing.
Do you ever have Mr. Gray come in and get zip ties and
no, no zip ties. No.
And red rope.
No, but we did always our funnest thing in the was the cattle prods, because there were cattle prods in there. So if you grab a cattle prod, you like shock each other with it.
Oh my god.
Come up behind somebody stocking paint and shock them with a cattle prod.
Small town.
It is a small town. Small town hardware store. It's good
stuff. So funny. But yeah, as far as like hygiene and things go, they did brush their teeth. They used linen. This makes me feel really good about my, yes, I've been like a big advocate. I switched to a linen like comforter and everything because it keeps you cooler. So like their clothes were really heavy. Like everything was like linen. So yeah, those were like their cloths that they would scrub themselves with because it's kind of like an exfoliator. It's kind of a rough, you know, like harsh material. So obviously like not bathing super frequently because water quality was like really poor. So like if they did have like some clean water, they would scrub themselves with like the linen cloth. And that's what they would use to like brush their teeth as well. Bad breath was like a thing back then that like was frowned upon. So like, because that's one of the things like I've often thought about when I've toured. I am obsessed with castles. So when I was like on a lot of my European trips and things and I would see this castle, like my imagination just runs wild. But that was something that I always thought of just like, oh my God, like how bad did it smell in the Middle Ages?
You know? Right?
Probably terrible.
It had to have been like a disgusting time. So it's funny that like bad breath was a thing that like they were really concerned about. I'm just like, how did they even? So a lot of like herbs and things, you know, would obviously help with their bad breath. But linen was like a huge source of hygiene and keeping themselves clean.
Yeah. Well, that's what I say. The holding a bouquet with a bride. That's one of the reasons why, is because over the winter they smelled so bad that the flowers made them smell
aroma,
better.
Yeah, I bet.
The spring. Yeah.
So funny.
Interesting. Yeah.
That's kind of all I have for my Middle Ages remedies and stuff. But I'm obsessed. We could talk about some of my travel stories to castles. I went to like some very, very old medieval castles. Tallinn, which is like a town from like the 1300s in Estonia, Finland, like some of the oldest castles. And it's just, I love that shit so much. When I did a trip through Jordan with one of my friends, like I made him pull off at like every castle stop. And it's like literally just like rubble that's left. I mean, there's like not much there. And I'm like, we're taking the tour. We're going. We have to see it.
We'll have to have a podcast. I know we would talked about, you know, you discussing your travels and stuff. That'd be amazing. That would be fun. Looking forward to that one.
So fun fact, if you were ever curious on some home remedies from the Middle Ages, we just checked that off of your box for you.
Oh, that was fun. All right.
Cool. All right. Have a good night, ladies. Stay healthy.
All right.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the Lost and Found Wellness Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, rate us, and give us a review. Then head over to Facebook and join the Lost AF community to keep the conversation going.